What is up, diehards? West Monell back in the loop. After a little getaway, went out to Palm Springs area with the in-laws. More family members made the trip out there. Brought our dogs, lots of pool and jacuzzi, water volleyball even. A chill time out there. Came back home, my dog Champ, he's been on seizure meds for the past few years. Well, he had an episode. Out of the blue. And when you don't have an answer as to why something happens, it bothers you. At least it bothers me. Thinking we did everything right as usual. It happens. People and dogs are resilient. Whether someone is generous to you or a total jerk, regardless of the reasons and the things going on, we're all resilient.
Last night took an L, but tonight I bounce back. Boy, I've been broke as hell. Catch the check and bounce back. D-Town LAX, every week I bounce back. If you a real one, you know how to bounce back.
Of course, that can translate to many things, especially in the sports world. Guys bouncing back from injuries, such as Adrian Peterson. After going down with a knee in 2011, he storms back on the field, leads the league in rushing, leads the Vikings into the playoffs, wins 2012 MVP. On a life-altering level. Little deeper here. Eric Berry's recovery from lymphoma. Forget about football. He was fighting for his life. Before that stage in his life, he was a Pro Bowl safety. How incredible is it that he's become a Pro Bowl safety since beating cancer? Truly a blessing. Berry is resilient. Been one of my faves since he was drafted. I know I said the whole franchise tag thing, rather than for the Chiefs to commit to him long term. That was purely looking at things from the business aspect. Resilient individual. There's different levels of resilience and how people can bounce back. It's not always just the physical portion. Take Torrey Smith, former Ravens receiver, a best friend to Ray Rice. Their wives grew close in Baltimore. The Rice couple went through that public domestic violence situation. All eyes on the Rice family. For the record, I like Ray Rice, but at the time of his last games, I thought he was done. No more legs left in him. That's what I saw. So when it came to whether another team would give him that second chance or not, that's why I said no. They wouldn't. For football reasons. If he could still contribute, I would have said yes, and he would have been signed by another team. Moving on from that, I'm glad that the Rice family is moving forward from a difficult time in their lives. One that was so much more public than any of our disputes. They bounce back, right? More than any that even goes as far to make your local news, stuff like that. It was just crazy, ugly situation. I'm glad they're moving forward. But back to Torrey Smith and his family. They were tied to Baltimore, close with the Rice family. And they too had to endure their best friends and their struggles. You may have heard the reports how it affected Smith mentally. It took a toll on the field. He eventually gets traded to San Francisco when he never wanted to leave. One day life was peachy. The next, his best bud was out of a job, could end up behind bars. Then he shipped out of town to the other side of the country. Not to mention the whole Chip Kelly thing and how he's not such a good head coach at the NFL level. Let alone the 49ers not really having an answer at quarterback. So, Smith gets released this offseason, joins Philadelphia, where he's a projected starter. He'll be a top three or four target in the offense. The best speed threat that the Eagles currently have at receiver. A lot of people still think Smith can contribute, and I think he will. Smith is back in the East Coast, and he's back in a solid football situation. And how about on a team level? New England keeps everything steady during Tom Brady's four-game suspension, going 3-1. Rob Gronkowski only plays the first half of the season. Deion Lewis only plays the second half. The Patriots' genius should be appreciated for winning as a team, with a great head coach and quarterback leading the way. They squeeze the most out of people around them. They act and play like underdogs. They weren't big and bad like the star-studded Ravens or the Legion of Boom. They didn't lead the NFL in scoring like the Falcons. Dug themselves out of a huge first-quarter hole in the Super Bowl. The surge, the comeback, the resilience, the bounce back. Like the great ones say, be happy, but never satisfied. If I'm the only one that says that, then I guess that makes me great, right?
What do we got over here? A cup of haters? A cup of haters?
And then how about Bill Belichick? His press conference days after winning the Lombardi Trophy.
As of today, and this greatest day feels, and this greatest day is, in all honesty, we're 5 weeks behind in the 2017 season.
What a guy. Well, look what we have here. A cup of haters. The Steelers and Jets tried to pry away linebacker Dante Hightower, who re-signs with the Patriots. Both teams wanted him to sign the dotted line before he left their buildings. Didn't happen. So how does the least desperate team keep their guy? Then the Patriots trade for wideout Brandon Cooks and tight end Dwayne Allen. Hold up, the Titans and Eagles were also in on Cooks. How did the least desperate team pull it off again? Then they signed corner Stephon Gilmore away from the rival Bills, when several teams were offering him big money as well. And the Patriots raising more eyebrows with the signing of running back Rex Burkhead from the Bengals. An impact special teams player that rushed for over 100 yards in his only career start. You think the Pats want to fall off like the Broncos and Panthers just did? Or the Ravens from a few years ago? Or the Giants who finally just made it back to the playoffs? The Seahawks who were just knocked out of the first round? That was the Super Bowl, meaning the Broncos and Panthers, from the previous NFL season. None made this past playoff picture. A new year and the Patriots, yeah, they were happy to win it all. But that doesn't mean that they have to be satisfied going into the new 2017 campaign. I got one last story of resilience for you. With a couple examples before it. Remember how Kobe Bryant was a top prospect? Landed with the Lakers on draft night, and shot air balls coming off the bench in the playoffs. We knew he was going to be better because we saw the signs during the process, even if the results weren't immediate. That's why I'm a process guy. That's how you're going to know who's going to give you the sustainable results. Not the RG3 results. Flash in the pan. A guy that I made a bet with my buddy when Griffin got drafted. We were watching it together. I said he would be out of the league in 5 years. Fast forward to today. Cleveland recently releases him. And if no team picks him up, then that's 5 and done from the second overall pick. Westradamus strikes. Not as an overall quarterback, but in the Chip Kelly system, I called Nick Foles supplanting Michael Vick. During the offseason, before Foles ever got to play in a regular season game. Then after two games of him in the lineup, not because of the results and the wins, but the scheme of the offense and the strengths that I saw in Foles, I thought he could be a Pro Bowler. He was. And if you really care, he was named Pro Bowl MVP. The next year he struggled, in part to a dismantled roster, as you all recall, and then he was traded, and so on. Look, nobody has succeeded as a Rams quarterback, or on offense in general. Then he was a backup in KC. Now he's back in Philly to back up the future elite, Carson Wentz. Yeah, I said it. Yeah, I've been saying it. Back to hoop on this one. Some of the moves I saw Kobe doing, his feel for the game, tenacity, it wasn't a secret if you were watching. And there's a lot of Laker fans that were. Some of those things, that's what I saw in Jimmy Butler. Most weren't aware of him as a first or second year player, but I was, and called it early too. Butler wasn't shutting down LeBron James, but he was containing and frustrating Carmelo Anthony and Paul George. His offense was extremely raw, but the move showed me enough, even if he couldn't knock down the shots at the time. And that's all stuff you may have heard me say before or tweet out. And I preface all that to say, who would have thought Kawhi Leonard was going to be a star? Don't try to be that wise guy out there. I mean, besides SDSU fans. And even then, in his second season in the NBA Finals against the Heatles, the Big Three, they won it all that year. But lost in the fold, Kawhi missing a free throw in the clutch. He performed at a high level in the finals. Again, as a sophomore in the NBA, averaging a double-double, 14 points and 11 rebounds. He took his game to another level a little bit by upping his averages from 11 and 6 to 14 and 11. And all the while being the guy to defend LeBron James. The spotlight was on the champs. James, D-Wade, Chris Bosh, Ray Allen. The talk was about San Antonio's veteran big three at the time. Duncan, Parker, Ginobili. Danny Green even played well. Got some love for those three-pointers. Kawhi played well, under the radar. Not really in the headlines at the time. He missed a big-time free throw, and whether we were aware of it or not, and odds were that we weren't, it fueled Kawhi Leonard. He didn't become an ostrich and put his head into the sand. A couple years later, he bounces back, reaches the finals again, and gets revenge on the Heat, winning finals MVP. Fast forward some more to this season. Kawhi Leonard is an MVP candidate. So many different ways people can bounce back, even if they don't rule the headlines at those specific times. It's part of sports and part of life. I love to see these processes play out. And here's an AWOL Sports update with some NFL news. Terrell Pryor signs with the Redskins and wants to play with Kirk Cousins. Pryor topped 1,000 yards as a first-year starter at receiver in Cleveland. Yes, in Cleveland, where he ran routes for six different quarterbacks. Cousins, of course, just signed his franchise tag contract, despite everything else we've been hearing. The Raiders signed wideout and return man Cordarrelle Patterson, a guy that put his speed and versatility on display in Minnesota. Great addition for the Silver and Black. He's an elite returner in the league, and he gives them the vertical threat that should make the offense well-rounded. Tight end Jared Cook also meeting with the team. He would be another great fit for them, a receiving tight end to do damage across the middle of the field. Titans linebacker free agent Zach Brown also meeting with Oakland. He would be inserted as an immediate starter. Seattle scoops up lineman Luke Jokel, formerly a number 2 overall pick in 2013. They also pick up Eddie Lacy to throw into that backfield, and they expect him to play in the 240-pound range. He's currently in the 260s. Arizona re-signs Andre Ellington, listed at running back, but they plan on using him more at wide receiver. He's shown playmaking ability as a former starter. He excels in the passing game. He's another talented threat that they want to put on the field more. Restricted free agent corner and former Super Bowl hero Malcolm Butler is supposedly warming up to the idea of playing for the Saints. He was in trade discussions involved for Brandon Cooks. That trade is official. But he may get flipped to the Big Easy still for a draft pick after the Stephon Gilmore signing. The Patriots are likely to get a draft pick, and a report suggests the first rounder, which is 32nd overall, that they traded in the first place to acquire Cooks, could be sent right back in exchange for Butler. It kind of reminds me of the trades between the Dolphins and the Jaguars. Two separate trades involving draft picks, where essentially Julius Thomas wound up with the Dolphins, and Brandon Albert was sent to the Jags. The Rams signed Broncos cornerback Kayvon Webster, a standout on special teams that reunites with Wade Phillips. The thinking is that he's earned his way up to compete for a starting role and that the depth chart was loaded in Denver. Free agent Connor Barwin also visiting the Rams. Wade Phillips is the D coordinator. Barwin flourished as a 3-4 D end in Houston and Philadelphia. It would be a great fit. The Eagles let go of backup QB Chase Daniel. They replace him with the familiar face in Nick Foles. Daniel wants to compete to be a starter elsewhere. Early implications link him to the Jets. Word is that the Eagles declined a trade to acquire Brandon Cooks from the Saints. The asking price? A pick along with Malcolm Jenkins, the safety standout that started his career in New Orleans before leaving via free agency. And the Chiefs replaced Dontari Poe at D-tackle with Benny Logan, an emerging player from Philly, a team that has already invested a lot in a few other D-linemen, so Andy Reid snags him on a one-year deal. Percy Harvin retires for a second time. His reps say it's for real this time around. And Darrelle Revis gets all charges dismissed. Then he goes to Twitter to campaign to playing for his hometown, Pittsburgh Steelers. On the NBA scoreboard from Tuesday night, the Cavaliers destroy the Pistons 128-96 at home. Cleveland sinks 23 of their first 26 shot attempts, scoring 44 in the opening quarter. Perhaps a statement from the defending champs. Detroit, remember, last playoffs, they played the toughest four-game sweep series I've ever seen. Three of those games could have gone either way. Nonetheless, LeBron James records his 10th triple-double on the season. Kyrie Irving's 26th leads 7 Cavs in double figures. If you think 10 triple-doubles is a lot, Russell Westbrook notches his 33rd of the season, leading OKC to a 122-104 win in Brooklyn. Yes, he passed the ball as well, dishing out 19 dimes. Three of his teammates score at least 17 points, Enes Kanter, Taj Gibson, and Victor Oladipo. On the other end, Brook Lopez and Jeremy Lin both score in the 20s. At MSG, the Knicks put the clamps on the Pacers 87-81. That's East Coast basketball right there. Indy held to only 29 points in the second half. A small forward duel between all-stars. Well, at least in the past, Carmelo Anthony, 22 with 13 boards. Paul George, 22 as well, with 10. Miles Turner, double-doubles. So does Willie Hernan Gomez off the Knicks bench. Pelicans breeze past the Trailblazers 100-77. Not even close. Blazers held to 30% shooting. Damian Lillard puts up 29 in the loss. Remember the Mighty Ducks movie, The Bash Brothers? That's Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins. That tandem goes off for 37 points, 24 rebounds, 5 steals, and 5 blocks. You may say only 37 points between them. This game wasn't even close. So they didn't need to play more. In the Bay, the Warriors come back from 16 to edge the scrappy 76ers by a bucket. 106-104 the final. The Splash Bros drill 10 threes between them, combining for 57 points. Draymond Green does it all, 20-8-8, 6 blocks, 4 steals. Nothing he can't do. Dario Saric and Jahlil Okafor for the Sixers both score at least 20. In some news, the Lakers shut down Luol Deng and Timofey Mozgov for the remainder of the season to get an extended look at their young players. And Kevin Love is expected back from his shoulder injury within the next week or so. And 10 games will be played on Wednesday. T-Wolves Celtics looks exciting. Two young teams with playoff seeding on everybody's mind this time of the year. Pelicans Heat could get interesting. Both teams pushing for an 8th seed in their respective conferences. Bulls against the Grizzlies. Sputtering teams fighting for their postseason hopes as well. LaMarcus Aldridge expected to return to the Spurs lineup as the Blazers come to town. He just had an irregular heartbeat scare, but will be good to go without restrictions. Good news there. Happy Wednesday, diehards. I'll see you tomorrow.